Today's Sunday school lesson is found in the book of Ezekiel, chapters 29 through 32. I encourage you to open your Bibles and follow along with me as I read the scripture. The title of our lesson is The Providential Decline of Egypt. We've looked at the prophecies of the destruction of Israel and then the destruction of Judah. Last week we looked at how Israel's neighbors and how they'll be destroyed. Then this week we're going to zoom in on the destruction of Egypt. All of these prophecies are at the hand of an almighty, jealous God that hates sin. It's his will that these nations would fall. Roll the clock up to today. I have no doubt at all that God's providential hand is on America. America has prospered through the years because we bless Israel, which of course is God's chosen people, chosen nation. Even when Israel is under God's chastisement, which they still are today, he still will bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. I've made the statement several times. It's worth repeating. A lot of people think that Israel needs America. Well, the truth of the matter is America needs Israel. It's Israel that's providentially holding up America, not vice versa. It's all about that little spot on the map called Israel. Nations have been trying to wipe Israel off the map for many, many centuries. And yet she still stands. And she's still under the wings of an almighty God. Yet with the divided leaders we have in office today, we've seen, especially the last 8 years or the 8 prior years to this past election, there was a big decline of America toward Israel. God will not allow us to continue the path we're on without consequences. When we read prophecy in the Bible, America, the most military power on the face of the earth, is not even mentioned by name in the Bible. If you go over to the book of the Revelation, over in the book of Daniel and Ezekiel and Isaiah and the other prophetic books, we find America. We do not find America. We look for America. So what's going to happen with America? Well, according to Scripture, in the last days, the Bible says all nations will rise against Israel. And yes, that will include America. The stage is set. The final curtain is about to close on this dispensation in the last days. Egypt was a military powerhouse back in the days of Ezekiel. And even this great military powerhouse, sort of similar to America today, we're going to see in today's lesson what happens to her. Our godless society and culture have made us to believe that man is supreme and can do anything. Now, we have made some great accomplishments. We have modern medicine. We can go to the moon. We can fire rockets with pinpoint accuracy. I could spend the rest of our time just boasting on how great a nation we are. And the accomplishments and the inventions that have taken place through the years. I like the communications, being able to go to the internet and get resources. And I like running water and having a bathroom inside my house. However, the problem with this is all of this prosperity that we have. The problem is God is often left out. Man has taken God's glory and taken his praise. Without God's providential guidance, I'm convinced we'd still be living in the dark ages. And God will not share his glory with anyone. We need to give God his glory and praise, and praise him for every blessing and every good thing that comes our way. Now, back in Ezekiel's day, Israel, Judah, the neighboring nations, and now Egypt, they turned their back on God. They thought, as we think today, that they were invincible and they were the supreme being. But God was and is still in control and on the throne. His wrath is coming soon, and it may be today. Wake up, America. Now, most of us are familiar with the verses in Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. These verses pretty much sums it up with the aim of our lesson today. In Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And then in verse 7 it goes on to say, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." And then along with that, our memory verse today in the book of Psalms 118:8. "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Can I just interject here that man will fail you? I will fail you. The preacher will fail you. Even zooming in, your spouse and your family and your children will fail you. But trust in the Lord. He will never fail you. Turn with me, if you will, in our text, Ezekiel chapter 29. Let's look at the first two verses. Again, as I've said about each week, that in the book of Ezekiel, it's very specific on the timelines. You can look at these verses in Ezekiel and even go back into secular history and Judean history and find out exactly the time frame of when this was going on. You can look at the month and the day and the year, and you can even determine the year by who was king and what was going on even back in history. So verse 1 says, "In the 10th year, in the 10th month, in the 12th day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man," of course that's God talking to Ezekiel the prophet, "Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt." So now we see that this prophecy in our lesson today is zooming in on this powerful, prosperous, worldly, godless nation of Egypt. However, per the timeline found in verse 1, this prophecy came before the destruction of Jerusalem. So we can go back and we know when Jerusalem was destroyed and overtaken and burned down. So this prophecy was even before that. So the question this morning, why was Egypt going to be punished? And the answer is because they refused to bless Israel. They refused to help Israel. As stated in our introduction, turning our backs on Israel is the same as turning our backs on God. The king of Judah, we saw in the last couple of weeks in our lessons, the king of Zedekiah, he was counting on the king of Egypt to deliver them from this king Nebuchadnezzar. And then, of course, we saw where the nation of Judah, or the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom of Judah, was punished for depending on Egypt instead of depending on and trusting in God. But also now we see where God is going to punish Egypt for not helping Israel. So we saw where Zedekiah and Judah, the southern kingdom, turned to Egypt, wanting Egypt's help, wanting the alliance with Egypt to fight against the Babylonians and the Nebuchadnezzar. And Egypt refused. Judah did not trust in God. They depended on Egypt. And they were punished. We saw a couple of weeks ago. And now we also find out that the neighboring nations and even Egypt in today's lesson were also punished because they did not help and bless Israel. We find over in the book of Jeremiah that Egypt withdrew her army and left Judah at the mercy of the Babylonians. Remember, we had said earlier in this quarterly study that the prophet Jeremiah was going on around the same time as the prophet Ezekiel. The Pharaoh of Egypt followed the example of Satan. The Pharaoh claimed to be deity. The Pharaoh claimed to be on the same level as God, and he wanted God's throne. Similar to Satan that wants God's throne. Yet just as Satan was and will be punished, so will Pharaoh. God destroyed his kingdom. Another mistake Pharaoh made was to take credit for Egypt's prosperity. He made Egypt think that their existence depended on him instead of depending on God. He wanted all of God's honor. He wanted all of God's glory. He wanted all the praise. He wanted the accolades. He wanted the attaboys. Look where I brought Egypt from and to. Look at this great nation because of me, the big almighty Pharaoh. Can I just interject here? We have leaders today that want the people in America to depend on the government instead of depending on God. There's a socialist agenda in our government today. Let the government take care of you. You don't need the churches. You don't need capitalism. You need the government. The government knows what's best for you. The government will take care of you. This nation is where it is because of the government. But yet we were founded on trusting God. The founders trusted God. The Constitution was written by godly men. But yet now God seems to be left out. The government wants to remove God from anything and everything that will honor Him. And then yet they want to give the government all the glory and all the dependence and all the praise. Well, to hear them tell it, we couldn't even exist as a nation without them, the government. Well, this is the same mistake that Pharaoh made. And the same punishment that is coming to Egypt is coming to America. Because we've turned in our backs on God. And one day we'll even turn our backs on Israel. Of course, we know that to be after the rapture and during the tribulation period, when the one world government would take place. If you will go down to verse 19 of chapter 29 in our text. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will give the land of Egypt unto Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take her multitude, and take her spoil, and take her prey, and it shall be the wages for his army. Verse 20. I have given him the land of Egypt for his labor, wherewith he served against it, because they wrought for me, saith the Lord God. So here we find the second prophecy that came to Ezekiel approximately 16 years later. Nebuchadnezzar had invaded Tyre, and Tyre had shipped most of their booty and their riches and prized possessions out into the sea. So he turned on Egypt, and God allowed him to overthrow them. And then we find the third prophecy came to Ezekiel. Turn over, if you will, into chapter 30. Go down three verses from the top. For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day. It shall be the time of the heathen. Now, what does the Bible refer to as the day of the Lord? Well, the day of the Lord in Scripture refers to and foreshadows the tribulation. Egypt will not be completely demolished, will not be completely destroyed until the Great Tribulation. Then in the tribulation, the Roman prince will rise up and will include Egypt in his political plans. According to Nebuchadnezzar's dream, remember the dream of the big statue over in the book of Daniel? According to Nebuchadnezzar's dream and Daniel's prophecy, Nebuchadnezzar ruled the first of the four kingdoms, while the first beast in Revelation chapter 13 will rule the last four. So, of course, we see that Nebuchadnezzar's rule has already come and gone and come to pass. And yet over in the book of Revelation chapter 13, we see that the beast is going to rise up. And they're going to rule the last four kingdoms of Nebuchadnezzar's dream in the book of Daniel. Now the time span between them is referred to as the times of the Gentiles. Ever heard that phrase? Well, you can read more about it in Luke chapters 21 through 24 and Romans 11, 25. Or Luke 21, 24 and Romans 11, 25. The times of the Gentiles. We can't get into that this morning. We have to keep going. Look down to verse 8. And they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have set a fire in Egypt, and when all of her helpers shall be destroyed. Egypt's collapse is imminent. God keeps his promises. It will coincide with the Gentiles, Ethiopia, Lydia, Libya, and the foreign residents in Egypt. They'll all be affected by Egypt's ruin. Egypt's allies will fail her. There's no escaping God's judgment. When God, through the prophet Ezekiel, handed down this judgment on Egypt and says Egypt will be destroyed and wiped out, then you can take it to the bank. Egypt will be destroyed and wiped out. These countries are in the news today. Judgment is coming. We may go years and thousands of years thinking, well, did Ezekiel's prophet come to pass? Prophecy come to pass? They always will when they're from God. But it will be in God's timing. And then about 3 months after the first prophecy, we find the fourth prophecy came to Ezekiel. If you stay in chapter 30 and look in verse 25 and 26 with me. But I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon, and the arms of Pharaoh shall fall down, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall put my sword into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall stretch it out upon the land of Egypt. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and to disperse them among the countries. And they shall know that I am the Lord. There was no recovery possible. God had ordered it. Nebuchadnezzar executed it, and they shall know that the Lord is the Lord of all nations. So as they were overthrown and destroyed then, there's coming a day when they'll be completely wiped out. Chapter 31. In chapter 31, about 2 months before the fall of Jerusalem, we find the fifth prophecy coming to the prophet Ezekiel. Verses 1-3, chapter 31. And it came to pass in the 11th year, here we are, very specific timeline. In the third month, the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, Of course, again, this is God speaking to and through Ezekiel. Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude. Whom art thou like in thy greatness? Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches, and with a shadowing shroud, and of a high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. So we find that the Pharaoh of Egypt thought he was invincible. Again, back to our opening, like America today, we're invincible, we think. And then you had a little virus. Well, I wouldn't say it was so little. But in context it is. A little virus brings America to a screeching halt. A little virus brings the whole world to a screeching halt. However, Pharaoh had a history book, just like we do. Pharaoh knew how God had overthrown Israel and Judah and the neighboring nations. He knew that. He saw all of that. And yet he still thought he was so invincible. Assyria fell in 612 BC under Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. Pharaoh should have taken notice. Let's continue our reading in verse 10. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, and he has shot up his top among the thick boughs, and his heart is lifted up in his height, I have therefore delivered him into the land, into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. He shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out for his wickedness. And strangers, the terrible of the nations, have cut him off, and have left him upon the mountains and in the valleys. His branches are fallen, and his boughs are broken by the rivers of the land, all the rivers of the land, and all the people of the earth. They're gone down from his shadow, and have left him. Upon his ruin shall all the fowls of the heaven remain, and all the beasts of the field shall be upon his branches. To the end that none of all the trees by the waters exalt themselves for their height, neither shoot up to the top among the thick boughs, neither their trees stand up in their height. All that drink water, for they're all delivered unto death, to the nether parts of the earth, in the midst of the children of men, with them that go down to the pit. Verse 15, thus saith the Lord God, in the day when he went down to the grave, I caused the mourning. I covered the deep for him. I restrained the floods thereof, and the great waters were stayed. And I caused Lebanon to mourn for him, and all the trees of the field fainted for him. Continue reading, verse 16 and 17. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall, when I cast him down to hell with them that descend into the pit, and all the trees of Eden, the choice and the best of Lebanon. All that drink water shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. They also went down into hell with him unto them that be slain with the sword, and they that were his arm, that dwelt under his shadow in the midst of the heathen. Can I just say here that the creation is no match for the Creator. God sets up kings and kingdoms, and He brings down kings and kingdoms when they forsake Him. Who can stand against the wrath of God? So we see in these verses where God's going to cut him down, cut the nation down. Chapter 32. Here we find that Ezekiel receives the sixth prophecy from the Lord against Egypt. Go down to verse 15. When I shall make the land of Egypt desolate, and the country shall be desolate of that whereof it was full, when I shall smite all them that dwell therein, then shall they know that I am the Lord. Not only is Lord, L-O-R-D, capitalized, but I like it, I am. He is the great I am. He is that I am that we find over in the book of Genesis. God will wipe out Egypt. Do you remember the Pharaoh back in Moses' day? Remember, this was in Egypt. Remember Moses put into bulrushes, raised by the almighty Pharaoh to be groomed to become the Pharaoh. And then, of course, Moses went and followed God and led the people out of Egypt. But before he did, remember, he went to Pharaoh and God cast 10 plagues or against Egypt. Well, this will be similar. There'll be a blackout. There'll be a political stagnation. There'll be a fear among the nations. And it will result in universal weeping. Why? Because then shall they know that I am the Lord. And then we find the seventh and final prophecy from the Lord that came to Ezekiel approximately 14 days after the previous prophecy. And it was like a funeral. And it commemorated Pharaoh's descent into Sheol, into the common grave with the less civilized nations. The prosperous nations was brought down and basically treated as the pauper nations. Let's pick up a reading in verses 21 and through 23. The strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell. With them that help him, they're gone down, they lie uncircumcised, slain by the sword. And of course, when we see uncircumcised in the Bible, their circumcision nation, of course, was the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom of Judah. And then the uncircumcised refers to all others that were not God's chosen people. Verse 22, Asher is there and all her company. His graves are about him, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, whose graves are set in the sides of the pit. Her company is round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which caused terror in the land of the living. Now you see that word Sheol. Sheol is one of four different words in the Bible that is used to describe the place of the dead until the time of resurrection. Now, this is not the eternal state. This is not the eternity. This was a temporary place. Sheol, hell, grave, and pit are used simultaneously. In the Old Testament, of course, we know that there was a division or there was a gulf that separated Sheol or hell, the pit, the grave. There was a big gulf that separated the wicked from the righteous. We can read about this in the book of Luke, where we see the rich man. And the rich man died and went to hell and lifted up his eyes and across the gulf saw Lazarus on the other side in Abraham's bosom. And of course we know that the rich man was wicked. And we know that Lazarus was righteous. Therefore, we do know that there is a conscious state. And people were recognized. This rich man recognized Abraham. He recognized Lazarus. So that means they have a conscious state. They know people and places and things and know what's going on. And he knew that Lazarus was that beggar that he turned his back on it, had nothing to do with. And of course, it had nothing to do with Lazarus' God. But he knew him. He recognized him. There in the pit, there in Sheol, there in hell of the earth. Now we know that the New Testament uses the word for hell or Hades. Well, just to finish that thought, we also know that when Christ went to the cross, defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he was resurrected, ascended back to heaven, we know he set the captives free, and at this time, it was changed to heaven for the righteous, and hell for the unrighteous dead. So after the cross, after the crucifixion, during the time of the 3 days in the tomb, there was no more or no longer that gulf in the pit. There was no longer that gulf in Sheol, that gulf in hell where the righteous and the unrighteous both were that had died. From the time of the cross, Calvary, when Christ set the captives free, he took the righteous to heaven. Praise God, that's where we'll go when we die, if we've been born again. And of course, the righteous is still, the unrighteous are still in hell. After the millennial kingdom, now before the tribulation and before the millennial, there'll be a rapture, and all the saved and the righteous, even the bodies in the grave and those that are still alive and remain, will be caught up in the air and will be taken to heaven. Then the tribulation will start. The millennial kingdom will come back with him on the horses. But then after the millennium, that 1,000-year reign, hell and all of those that died not knowing Christ will be cast into the lake of fire. And this, my friend, will be their eternal state and their home for that eternity. You can find that and read about that in the book of the Revelation, chapter 20, verse 14. I hope you're a believer this morning. I hope you've been born again. I hope you know Christ as your Savior. I pray that you're going to be in that number that's going to be gloriously raptured out of here into heaven. And if not, if you're not in that number, there's not a better time than right now to bow before an almighty God. Repent of your sins. Ask him to come into your heart, and he'll gloriously save you if you believe in him. The Lord made it very clear. Those that trust in their own strength will fall. We need to pray diligently, effectively, for America to turn to Christ. For Christ, that he will give us a span of time until this rapture takes place, that we can have that peace. But according to the Bible, it's going to wax worse and worse in the last days. But we, who those that are saved, can still be a light. As the world gets darker, the light should shine brighter. And we should try to take as many people as we possibly can with us to heaven. Our hope should not be in ourself. Our hope should not be in man. Our hope should not be in our bank account, our job, or not even in our family, not even in our church, and surely not our government. Our hope and our trust must be in the Lord. We're going to finish the lesson this morning. I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth his voice, who obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath not light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. That concludes our Sunday school lesson. I'm looking forward to the day that we can all meet again in Sunday school class and not only study the Word together, but have that fellowship that we so badly need. May God bless you. May you trust in the Lord. And let him direct your path.